What was the Protestant Reformation all about? Does it even matter? Hi, I'm Pastor Mike Brown of Christ United Reformed Church in Santee, and we invite you to a free conference on Saturday, November 1st. Speakers include Dr. Michael Horton, Dr. R. Scott Clark, and Dr. W. Robert Godfrey, all professors at Westminster Seminary, California. For more information on this free one-day conference, visit ChristURC.org. That's ChristURC.org.
We'd like to invite you to the Escondido United Reformed Church this Sunday for worship. We are committed to preach through the Word of God. We are committed to Reformation theology and the message of salvation by grace alone, through faith alone, in Jesus Christ alone. You can visit us on the web at escondidourc.org. Again, those worship service times are 9:30 a.m. and 6 o'clock p.m. on Sunday. The Escondido United Reformed Church, a place where the Bible is sincerely believed and faithfully taught.
Choosing this day whom we will serve. Welcome to Abounding Grace. On behalf of Abounding Grace Radio, here is our teacher and pastor, Chris Gordon.
Well, we're grateful you've tuned in today to Abounding Grace Radio. Today on Abounding Grace, we are going to tackle a challenging subject, a subject that the Bible does have a lot to say about, the issue of divorce and remarriage. And I understand, we live in a culture today where this is a common thing that happens. I think they say today that 60% of all marriages will end in divorce. And how are we to even approach this subject? What are we to do with this mess in our society and how it's affected homes and children and the guilt that people carry around because of it? Well, I'm hoping to provide you answers with that today. My title is Answers on Divorce and Remarriage from 1 Corinthians chapter 7. Let me just say up front, I'm going to be strong on the direct teaching and command of our Lord on this. The Lord was very strong in his statements against divorce, but we need to understand why that is, why that matters, why this matters so much to the Lord, and what the marriage relationship is designed to teach and what it displays. We're going to look at all that today. But I also know that there have been some in the history of the church that have been so radical in dealing with this problem that there have been some pretty scary applications in dealing with those who have been divorced and telling them how to move forward and those sort of things. This is not the unpardonable sin. The Lord is very merciful to many great sinners in the Bible, isn't he? And we're all great sinners. You look at those in his line, Tamar. You look at Bathsheba. You look at the woman at the well who had five husbands. So what I'm saying is I'm going to be strong on the command of the Lord, and then we're going to also, I'm not going to leave people hanging as if there's no grace for those who've been divorced. We're going to look at the whole story, the whole picture, and I hope this is a blessing to you looking at this great teaching. Also, we now want to direct you to our website, and we have an 800 number at Abounding Grace Radio. If you are blessed by Abounding Grace, we want you to have to give us a call. You can support us right over the phone now. The 800 number is 1-888-504-8805. So 1-888-504-8805. You can visit us on the web at agradio.org. Download the podcast, write to us, many resources there for you. So now here's the message from 1 Corinthians chapter 7, Answers on Divorce and Remarriage. Well, tonight we turn to a subject that obviously presents a great challenge for any pastor to address today. It's the subject of divorce and remarriage. And I should say up front, as we're looking at this tonight, that it's really not difficult in looking at the clear will of God on this. Did you notice how clear that passage was? It really was not unclear. In fact, that's not the problem at all. In what I'm about to present to you, you, Lord willing, will see that the Lord's expressed will on this issue has been made very plain. The Lord has declared it plainly. Accepting that word, accepting it, is where the challenge really does lie. Why?
Because we live in a day when divorce rates have hit an all-time high. They say that something like 60% of all marriages today will end in divorce. Whether that seems high to me, but I don't know. A lot of people are divorcing. And all of us have loved ones, maybe parents, maybe you've been through this, maybe you're divorced, have loved ones who have divorced, and these circumstances are emotional, these circumstances are painful, and they carry a lot of baggage in people's lives that people don't get over. They just don't. And that's where the challenge comes tonight. I'm called as a pastor, you understand, to present the clear teachings of the Lord on this particular issue, on the principles of God's Word. And I want you to know tonight that I'm not beginning with the what ifs. I'm not starting with that, nor should we. The messes that we create in this world and what to do about them should follow what is the clear teaching of the Lord, right? But we always want to talk about the exceptions. We always want to begin with the exceptions. We want to address the what ifs. In fact, undoubtedly as I present this tonight, your mind is going to be turned away to somebody in your life that's close to you that has been divorced, and you will say, but wait, this circumstance was different. This circumstance was different. It happened this way, and that's why it went on. The divorce problem is so epidemic. What we've done in the Christian church to satisfy ourselves is now make the exceptions the norm. And because the exceptions are now the norm, the original norm as God gave it is now the exception. Everything's been reversed. We've heard of so many now with their own personal justifications for doing it. The impact of God's word and the commands anymore aren't even felt. They're not felt. And it's a consequence, as I outlined this morning, of living in a non-judgmental society, in our society where no one takes accountability for their actions. Everyone is a victim. Nobody is at fault. I mean, this is our day. And then you have the problem when addressing this issue of all the extremes in the church in response to the divorce mess and the rates so high today. I mean, there have been so many radical, extreme views in the church on this particular issue, as if this is the unpardonable sin, that we end up making it that, and then people don't even know or how to even deal with, because of that approach of the church, the mess that they are in and the guilt that they experience. And so the church sometimes comes up with ridiculous proposals to solve the problem. I'll look at a few of those. Imagine, though, a church today, aside from that, that wants to stand on God's clear teaching on this issue. Imagine that church. A Christian couple comes to them and says, you know, we're divorcing. And the leadership says, you can't. And they do it. Do you know how difficult of a circumstance that is today? What do you think is going to happen to that church if they say no? And they go through discipline. You are going to be tarred and feathered. You're going to be called every kind of name under the sun in the community. That's what's going to happen. And that's our day. Well, I present that intro tonight. I want to ask you to set aside all of the what ifs. And if you can, listen simply to God's clear teaching on it. Understand why it matters so much to him. I mean, that's one thing we should all come away with this. Why does this issue matter so much to him? Where the sin lies, where we've fallen and come to him, he's always held out, even to the divorced, that if you confess your sins, he's faithful and just to forgive your sins and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. Now, It's important to be reoriented tonight to what Paul is doing in this particular text, what he is answering. This is not a comprehensive teaching on divorce and remarriage. In fact, I said last time, if we forget that, we land in all sorts of problems. Paul is answering specific questions. Paul is answering specific questions that the Corinthian church had proposed to him, and you saw that in verse 1. In the very first verse of chapter 7, he says, "Now concerning the matters about which you wrote to me, that it's good for a man not to touch a woman." This had become, in Corinthian culture, one of the Greek ways of preserving the soul. Remember this. The radical self-denial of bodily urges was necessary to maintain the soul's purity. And after extensive teaching on sexual immorality, he addresses the opposite end of the spectrum of many of them saying that sexual relations with a woman is defiling to the body, so we should just refrain. Well, Paul now corrects all of that, remember last time, and on the contrary, he said, no, you've looked at that all wrongly. That's a marital responsibility. That's something that God created good and healthy for the marriage relationship, without which you bring serious problems into the marriage relationship. It's a blessing. And so he addressed how we are to think about the marriage relationship. He addressed how we are to think about the intimacy in the marriage relationship. And he encouraged in that section those who desire marriage. Now he turns to another issue that the Corinthians had obviously asked him about, or that flowed from that. It seems that many of them were accepting the celibacy view, that refraining was good, that it was necessary, that it was pure, it was undefiling, and that marriage then was no longer necessary. Paul will say that later of some who were abstaining from marriage. Actually, he'll say that to Timothy, remember. And he would answer that by saying, listen, God created that to be enjoyed. But that led to the thinking in certain pockets in the early church that led to this thinking that you could terminate the marriage relationship. Why not? If celibacy is the answer, why do we need marriage? Paul's already addressed that issue. He's already put that out of their wrong view of intimacy. And he has a few things that he wants to tell them now with regard to marriage. So what he does in verse 10, if you'll notice, is that he says something that immediately might have puzzled you a little bit. He shifts, and he's the first time he says, this is the Lord's command, not I, but the Lord. And then he says, this is not the Lord's command, but mine. You'll notice that in verse 10, that what he begins with here in verse 10 is restating something that the Lord had specifically commanded. And then he provides further commands from the apostles on this particular issue that the Lord did not address. So look at verse 10. To the married I give this charge, not I but the Lord. What I'm doing here, says Paul, is I'm restating for you the command that came from Christ on a particular issue. It was very clear among the apostles what Jesus' teaching was on divorce. That was not unclear. Now, the Gospels probably had not been written by this point. So there was a body of teachings. They knew, listening to the Lord's ministry, they sat under it. They knew what was the expressed will of God concerning this particular issue. And he states it. He summarizes it there in verse 10 and 11. Did you notice that? The wife should not separate from her husband, but if she does, she should remain unmarried or be reconciled to her husband, and the husband should not divorce his wife. Now, I believe it's important to say that verse 10 uses a word that I believe should be translated as command. That's the punch of this. This is a command of God. Later in the book, Paul's going to speak about those who reject the clear commands of God, and he's going to say, listen, if anyone is spiritual, if you call yourself spiritual, if you want to say you're a Christian, you better acknowledge that the things that I'm writing to you are the commands of the Lord. If you want to be ignorant, then go be ignorant, but you better acknowledge that what I'm saying is God's commandment. So his commandments matter a lot to him. And sometimes, you know, we know that there are ideas pushed on people that aren't commandments. Maybe the history of the church demonstrates that, and there's been no real agreement on a particular issue, and the debate never ends on a particular issue. But that's not the case here. That's not the case here. This one's clear. Do you notice how the apostle presents it? Here is the expressed will of God on this issue. Now listen to it. The wife is not to depart, and the husband is not to divorce his wife. If for some reason this happens, she is not free to go get married again. She has to always have as her goal reconciling with her husband. Now, I don't think that's unclear, do you? I think that's really clear. That's a direct statement from the Lord. Here's our problem. Anyone who has a loved one who's been divorced or is divorced is right now saying, wait a minute, wait. And I'm saying, no. Listen to the Lord. Why do we always do that with God's commandments? Why do we always stop and immediately want to go to a breaking of this? The first thing we do is go to the exception. And you've lost something. You've already lost it. You don't do that with the sixth commandment, of course. You don't ever say, God says, thou shalt not murder. And you say, well, you know, in this particular case, it was all right. You don't do that with adultery. You don't do that with those kind of commandments. You do it maybe with the fourth commandment. We do it with the fourth commandment. You know, we break worship all the time. But when it comes to this kind of command that has been so broken and accepted to be broken culturally, the first thing we do is get irritated and defensive about how we can justify what has been a problem and what somebody, a loved one, has done. And I say that because then we erect a wall and we're unable to hear what the Lord is telling us tonight. What was Christ's command that Paul's talking about? Paul's interacting with something. Paul's thinking about something. It was something known in the law. Even from creation law, that Moses would take and apply. And the apostles knew about something that had happened very clearly in Jesus' ministry himself in Matthew chapter 19. You're welcome to turn there. If not, I'll be working through this for a minute. But I want you to think of the scenario here. Multitudes were following Jesus. And the Pharisees had come up to him to try to test him. And remember their question. Is it lawful for a man to divorce his wife for just any reason? Loaded question. Why? That was the teaching of the day. The rabbi's teaching under the famous Hillel said that a man might divorce his wife if she spoiled his dinner by putting too much salt in his food. Men like salt. If she walked in public with her head uncovered. If she talked with men in the streets. If she spoke disrespectfully of her husband's parents. Let me make sure I get all that. If she spoke disrespectfully of her husband's parents in the husband's hearing. If she was a brawling woman. If she was a troublesome woman. This was all in the law that they had super added over the law. It was even done if a husband found a woman who he found was more attractive than his wife. You believe that? Demosthenes, and I quoted these last time, but I'm going to quote them one more time for their impact, just so you feel the culture again. We have courtesans for the sake of pleasure. We have concubines for the sake of daily cohabitation. We have wives for the purpose of having children legitimately. Seneca. Women were married to be divorced and divorced to be married. So it came to be under even Jewish rules and laws that a husband could divorce his wife for any cause. A wife could divorce her husband for no cause. Now you ask, why does Paul address women here? He should be going after the men, right? I mean, that's my first reaction. Here's what I believe happened. A woman is not to depart from her husband, and if she does, she can't go remarry. She needs to be reconciled. These men were treating their wives so terribly, and this has been a tragic thing that's happened in the history of the world. Men have been very abusive to their wives, and men have been terrible in treating their wives, that the Greek idea of celibacy afforded a way out. It gave them the way out. I don't have to put up with this. I don't have to do that. And in the cruelty, a lot of women departed, and this is where it's hard. Because the general rule, again, the general rule we have to feel, if that departure happens, if there is some circumstance where it happens, and Paul's not condoning that, but he's saying, if that departure happens, you need to remain unmarried. Because you need to have as a goal, reconciliation with your husband. Now, who is he talking to here? I think it's important to say he's talking to Christians. That's a much greater weight, isn't it? While there are exceptions, the thrust of the New Testament's teaching on this is that, no, not to happen. And I believe that's why Peter even wrote and said in 1 Peter chapter 3, wives, be submissive to your own husbands, that even if some do not obey the word, in other words, even if your husband's a bum, that in the relationship, you, without a word, without being boisterous and loud and fighting and angry, that you, without a word, he may be won by the conduct of their wives when they observe your very calm, godly, chaste behavior, accompanied with God's fear. Again, how many what ifs would come out of that statement right now? I want to say this. It takes a lot for a woman to leave a husband, by the way. In general, you have to really push a woman hard and be very abusive to get her to the point of walking out on her man. Honestly, when that happens, there has been so long and so much damage done, it just finally hit the breaking point, and at that point, it's like the Titanic, raising the Titanic to get her back. Are you feeling the weight, though, of the general rule? You have to feel it. Paul says this is Christ's command. Where? What was Christ's command? Well, when the Pharisees came and tested him, asking him, can we do this for any reasons, what did he say? He said this, have you not read that God made them at the beginning male and female and said, for this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. So then they're no longer two but one. What did he just say? That's a really powerful statement, isn't it? God created the marriage relationship at creation. And I love to think of it this way. Adam didn't go out searching for his bride. God brought the woman to him. And he didn't intend to create them male and female. Ultimately, he intended that they would become husband and wife, thus becoming one. And Jesus says, then you need to rethink about what marriage intentionally was from the beginning. They were never created to be separate. But they were created to be married. Remember, we went over the exceptions of those who are single last time. So I'm not leaving you out of that. But Jesus was saying, God made a union. God made a union. And think of the union with you and Christ that already he's talked about. Well, when you're looking at Christians and you're talking about a Christian marriage, he's already told us that our marriages specifically are designed in our union with each other to reflect a union with him. And then Jesus gives the great command. Here it is. What God has joined together, let no man separate. God hates divorce, because it separates what he specifically unified. And it assaults what marriage ultimately, with redeemed eyes, we understand is intended to teach us. And I think it's important to say of how much higher the plane, how much higher the responsibility, how much higher the Christian is to think about marriage. You've been sanctified, he says. You've been washed. You've been justified. You're united to Christ. The world doesn't understand that. The world doesn't have that. Their marriages break all the time. They shouldn't break. They're fallen. But Christians have this higher standard because you've been redeemed. You've been bought. And divorce would specifically assault what the redeemed marriage is designed to reflect and tell to the world. Let no man separate what God has joined together. You know what happened after that? You know what happened when Jesus said that? When the people listened to Jesus' teaching, it caused a lot of conflict all around. The Pharisees, whoa, 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 you wait up, wait up, wait up. Moses allowed it. Jesus is sorry. He did that because of the hardness of hearts. That was never God's intention from the beginning. The full weight of it was thrown. Listen to the effect on the disciples. If such is the case of the man and his wife, it's better not to marry. Now, why do you think they said that? It's better to just be celibate. Jesus says not everyone's gifted for that. Everything their culture, here's the point, everything their culture had succumbed to, everything that was being tolerated in Jewish law, everything that was being accepted and justified in the culture with divorcing for just any reason, all of the exceptions, everyone had come to think that were normal to marry life, Jesus just said, are wrong. And he threw it all out in one swoop. You feel it? And they're thinking to themselves, they were so uncomfortable with that teaching, they're thinking, if it means that much to God, which we had no idea it meant that much to God, we better not even get into this. No, doesn't every father want to tell his daughter before they marry that? You know? Doesn't every son and daughter, don't we want them to understand that about marriage? Paul here is addressing the Lord's command. The thrust of it is, don't divorce. Don't do it. It's not an option to escape marital obligations. So what is our position on divorce? We hate it like God hates it. That's Paul's first answer.
Well, thanks for tuning in today to Abounding Grace Radio. That was part one of our study on divorce and remarriage, answers on divorce and remarriage. We're going to come back and look at part two. So if you still have questions and there's many things on your mind about that, you want to make sure you come back to Abounding Grace Radio tomorrow and listen to the program as we take up the Lord's answer and how he helps people forward through this. There are answers. There is grace. There is help for those even who have been in these great struggles in their marriage relationships and don't know how to go forward. The Lord has much to teach us and help us with. You can download these at the website at agradio.org. The web address is agradio.org. You can even support us now online at 1-888-504-8805. Again, 1-888-504-8805. Thanks again for tuning in to Abounding Grace Radio today. May the gospel of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ in all of its glory continue to richly bless you.